Jay Hall went to Mrs. Patricia Gregory's home at midnight and begged her to take him on the Gregory yacht, which was sailing for the South Seas to search for Mrs. Gregory's long-lost little daughter, Joan. Jerry didn't even dream of the weird adventures the cruise would lead to. Now the Gregory yacht is tied up at one of the piers on Euclidia, the magic island. And lashed securely to it is Johnson's boat, also captured and held prisoner when Johnson sailed to the rescue of the Gregory party. Two things have happened, however, which give Mrs. Gregory and her party more reason for hope than the Euclideans know anything about. We hear them planning how to use these advantages as they talk excitedly in the radio cabin.
Before you say anything further about your plans, Captain Bradford, might I ask one question?
Go to it, Joan. The more mistakes we can find before we make them, the better off we'll be.
I merely wanted to ask if you were quite sure none of the Euclideans had been in this room since Jerry and I left to go to the laboratory.
I'm sure of that, Aunt Eutex.
I was just trying to think, Pat. Of course, we were in and out of here while we were working down in the hold, but I'm reasonably sure no one else was in here. We didn't leave the cabin for any great length of time.
What do you want to know that for, Joan?
Because, Jerry, we are now going to discuss our plans for escape from this island. And we cannot do so unless we are absolutely certain of privacy while we are speaking.
Golly, Whiskers, Joan, you're right. And if any of those Euclideans were snooping around in here, they might have done something to this seaweed cloth so we wouldn't shield us from the sound and the light beams anymore.
Precisely.
Hey, what did I tell you about sounding like old G-47?
I am sorry, Jerry. I should have said exactly.
Now, your point is well taken, Joan, but I think we'll have to take the chance.
Is there any way we could tell if the cloth had been tampered with, Joan, dear?
No, Mother. It can be sprayed with a liquid which robs it of all opaque properties. Yet the change cannot be detected.
Well, I'd say we didn't have time to worry about it. We've only got a few minutes to figure this thing out.
Right, kid. I'm for taking a chance and going ahead with the plans. Because any minute now, one of those Euclideans is going to come running in here and ask what we know about my formula blowing up.
You two had better tell Tex and me exactly what happened. Then we can fit our plans into it.
Well, we started to get ourselves into trouble, so we'd be taking a G-47 in the laboratory. And we got taken there mighty fast and without getting into trouble.
We met the submarine commander. She took us to the sound channel, the only room on the island where one may always talk without being overheard.
Yeah, and that's the craziest room you ever saw. More funny noises and funny things without any sound.
Some other time, kid. Get on with the story.
I'm sorry. Well, that girl commander took us in this room just so we could talk to her without anybody hearing us. And we told her about the formula. Well, how it filled the laboratory with gas and put everybody in the room to sleep the minute it was completed.
Oh, do you think it was wise to trust her that way?
I was in doubt at first, Mother. But her subsequent activities quite definitely substantiated Jerry's method of procedure.
That means everything came out okay.
I thought that might be it, kid. Go ahead.
Well, so we told this gal how we wanted to get into the laboratory to watch the experiment finished. How we had the cotton in our noses so the gas wouldn't put us to sleep. And that we wanted to get in there just before the blow-up so G-47 wouldn't have time to ask us questions or send us away someplace else.
The commander then left us in the sound channel while she went to learn of the progress of the experiment. Luckily, G-47 had learned of our presence on the lower levels. And he promptly sent the commander back to look for us.
You sure got a good break there.
This thing seemed to have gone almost too nicely for you.
Yeah. Then we tried to get the commander to put some of the cotton in her own nose. But she said no. Said it would look better when they woke up if she had really been put to sleep like the rest of them.
That girl deliberately allowed the gas to overcome her.
Yes, Mother. The commander said it would put her beyond suspicion and leave her in a position of being free to aid us at another time.
That's one of the most courageous things I've ever heard of. No matter what happens to us, we'll take care of that girl.
Gosh, that's swell of you, Captain. And it's mighty smart of her to figure that she could do us more good by going to sleep with the rest of them.
Jerry and I held our breaths a moment and made sure that everyone else was really asleep. Then we hurried out of the laboratory, and we were not seen or heard coming here.
Fine. Oh, but could it be possible that G-47 was watching you and noticed that you didn't react to the gas as the others did?
But we did. Joan and I both kind of choked a little bit, like the others did. Then we fell down on the floor and stayed real still for a second or two, till everybody in the room was quiet, like they were sound asleep. Then we jumped up and ducked out.
It looks cut and dried, Pat. I don't see where anything could possibly have gone wrong.
No, Tex, it seems perfect. Oh, if only these Euclideans really believe Johnson is here with us and don't find the hole we've cut between the boats, we should make our escape as soon as darkness covers the island.
I was going to ask you, what are the holes in the boats for?
Gee whiz.
Well, we haven't any choice.
We have nothing to lose. Our case is hopeless as it is.
You're right, Joan, dear. Nice work, Joan.
Come in. Oh, you.
Oh, my.
Oh, the skipper.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Well, what's up, skipper?
Done.
What's done?
Tanks.
You got the oil tanks in Johnson's boat ready for the oil?
Yeah.
Then we can begin transferring the oil at once, can't we?
No.
Why not?
Noise.
What noise, skipper?
Pumps.
He's right, Pat. There isn't a sound anywhere on this island. If we start the pumps on this yacht to pump our oil over into Johnson's boat, they'll hear the pumps and come a-running to spoil our little plan.
Is it that you are going to transfer the oil from this boat to the other one and use the other boat for the escape?
Yes, dear. Johnson's boat is better for the purpose.
I get it. And we've got to have noise to cover up the working of the pumps before you can move the oil. Right, skipper?
Right.
That's a problem. How can we make enough noise to cover those pumps without the noise being suspicious?
Yeah. Say, wait a minute. You've got a little portable power saw on board, Tex. I saw it.
Of course, Jerry, but...
And what? That broken mast out there is hard to handle. The most natural thing to do with it is to cut it off clean near the bottom. Then step the new end in the deck. Why can't we rig the saw up on deck and go to work on the mast? We can keep the saw running and cut the noise of the pumps.
Tex, will it work?
You bet it'll work. And we can keep our motors idling to run the generators for current for the saw motor. That'll be more noise to cover the pumps. Good boy, Jerry.
You are wonderful, Jerry.
Oh, you don't have to keep reminding me of it all the time. I won't forget that I am.
I feel sure that you won't, Jerry. But you certainly earned the bouquet this time. Oh, does that answer your question, Skipper?
Yeah.
All right, Skipper. You wait until you hear our motors and the saw start. Then pump and pump fast.
Aye.
You can take Jerry with you now and set up the saw. Get the crew from Johnson's boat to help you.
Aye.
Now work fast, Jerry, and send McLeod in here to us now. If you talk to him out on the deck, don't forget to call him Johnson.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hurry up with that saw, boys. Let's fix up the mast so we can use our thing again there.
Right, sir.
Oh, Captain Bradford, it seems that things are going nicely for us after all.
It sure does, Joan. We get that radio working. I only hope they keep things up like this.
We didn't have time to tell you what we'd been doing while you and Jerry were gone, Joan, dear. But Tex had the men working quietly, cutting holes in the sides of the two boats just above the waterline.
Yes, I know. Jerry and I crawled aboard through one of the holes.
Yeah, and you're still dripping wet, Joan. Hadn't you better change your clothes?
Oh, but it is so nice and warm. I'm sure I will be comfortable.
No, dear. The captain's right. Better run along and put on one of my dresses. The tan sweater and skirt will fit you nicely.
I will do as you say, Mother dear, but really I do not like to miss any of the excitement. Oh, how do you do, Mr. Johnson?
And you, Miss Joan.
Nicely, thank you. Won't you go right into the cabin? Mother and the captain are expecting you.
Thank you.
Come over and sit down, Mac.
You needn't look so frightened, Mac. The cloth covering this cabin will keep anyone from hearing us call you Mac.
Will it cover up my accent, too? I sound about as much like Johnson as a bullfrog does as a mockingbird.
That'll do all right in here, Mac. How are you getting along with the transfer?
Well, everything below deck is in the other boat now, except the oil. That's a problem.
A problem no longer, Mac. Jerry solved it. He's going to run the power saw and cut off the broken mast while the pumps work to cover the noise.
That's a clever laddie, that Jerry. You didn't lose a thing when he shanghaied himself aboard for this cruise.
Yeah, we know it, Mac. Jerry and Joan have done a lot we couldn't have done ourselves.
And the best part of it is that you two have enough sense to give him a chance to do something. There's many a smart young'un in this world that never gets a chance to show what they can do for the old folks standing in their way.
You're right, Mac. But much as we'd like to talk about our clever juveniles, there's work to be done. Are you going to try and move anything out of the cabin, Tex?
Not much. We'll take this radio and my instruments the last thing, in the dark, just before we shove off. But I'm afraid you'll have to get along with very few clothes and luxuries, Pat.
You know how much that worries me, Tex. What else?
Well, I'm not so sure about the fuel supply. Remember, we've only a little oil here. And those diesels on the other boat burn it up fast.
How far will we have to run from here to be safe?
That depends on how soon our going is discovered, I think. and how well organized the Euclideans are to stop it.
Yes, if we can get clear away before the scientists in that laboratory start waking up, we may be all right. But the most we can get 50 miles from here with that oil, then sail. And sail will be too slow if they really take out after us.
Well, all we can do is to make the try, Captain.
There goes the motors and saw. Duck back out there, Mac. Run into your own engine room without being seen and start those pumps. Use the full flow. You ought to transfer all the oil in half an hour.
Half an hour will be ample time.
I'll follow you.
Now, we'd better go out on deck and act interested in fixing that mast, Pat.
Suppose you go, Tex, and leave me here to use the radio. I'll keep sending as though I were trying to get help from the mainland. Johnson will be picking it up wherever that boat he's on is now, and he'll make something out of it.
Good idea, Pat. It'll make these Euclideans think we're desperate. They'll be intercepting the beam all the time.
I'll keep on trying to get help, Tex.
Good luck, dear.
Hey, Tex, come over here, will you?
Why, sure, son. Coming right up. What's the matter, Jerry?
Well, I'm not sure how you want this mast saw. That's one of those Euclidean guards coming down the pier. What'll I do?
Just saw wood, kid. Just saw wood.